in Parshas Devarim, you have the preparation for the entry into the land of Israel. That's what's being told in the first Aliyah. Then in the second Aliyah, all of a sudden, there seems to be a diversion into the topic of Minoy Dayanim. Who is proper? Who should establish? Who should serve as the judiciary? The people that will help ultimately prevent anarchy in the society, provide peace in society, and in a system of justice and righteousness. So what does Moshe say? Havu lachem anashim chachamim unevonim viduim l'shivtechem v'asimeim b'roshechem. So prepare for yourselves. People who are wise, who are understanding. Rashi fills in what's chachma, what's bina. Viduim, those who are known. You know, they're not the kind of people that... You've got a history with them, knowing their integrity, their decency, and their reputation. And they're going to serve as the heads. So that's the pasuk. Why all of a sudden is the focus now on the Minoy Dayanim, the appointment of judges, and setting up a system of justice? That's the question. So the idea that the Rav explained is this. Moshe interrupted his narrative with the seemingly tangential point, because the prerequisite for entering the land of Israel was the institution of a perfect system of justice. Now, by the way, the Haftorah for Parshas Devarim, the famous Shabbos Chazon, Chazon Yishayahu, it reflects this theme as well. This sequence, in other words, that once we have a system of justice, we have a system of perfection, where people are ethically and morally perfected, and there's a system that ensures their behavior and ensures society functioning that way, only then can we enter the land of Israel. This sequence provides the blueprint for the coming of the Mashiach as well. And this is the historical precedent. This historical precedent that Moshe did in Arvos Moav, when he reviewed with the people what happened in the Midbar, that historical precedent is the rationale for the sequence of the brachos that we have in our daily Shmona Esrei. After initially laying out our individual needs, such as we ask for mechila and slicha, then we ask for refuah, we ask for psychological health, reina vanyenu, we ask for parnasa, barechaleinu. What does the Shmona Esrei do? It addresses itself to Israel's communal redemption. After the request for the ingathering of the exiles in Tika b'shofar gedolah cheruseinu, right, mikabetz nidchei amo Yisrael, what would we have thought? We would have thought the next bracha should be v'Yerushalayim ircha in es tzemach David, that we request that Yerushalayim and that the Beis Hamikdash be built, and that the Mashiach come, and that his rule be implemented. But that's not what happens. However, as soon as we mention the ingathering of the exiles, we cannot make these additional requests of V'Yerushalayim ircha es tzemach David until what? Until a system of perfect justice is established to defeat those who oppose it and request the triumph of those who are righteous in justice. Only after that can we ask that the Beis Hamikdash be rebuilt and the Mashiach arrive. It continues in the details, Kakaton kagadol tishma'un. You shall hear the small case just the same way you would hear the large case. And then the Gemara, which Rashi alludes to, and Daf Chesamad Aleph, you know, Reish Lakish's Gemara, Sanhedrin Daf Chesamad Aleph, talks about the fact that it's not just that we take the small case as seriously as the large case. But what? If the small case came in first, we don't push it aside. What do? That case is adjudicated and dealt with first, no matter how insignificant the financial ramifications are. That case is heard first before the large case, which could be hundreds of millions or billions of dollars. One can discern far-reaching implications in this halachic principle. Regarding real estate, ownership changes with the transfer of money. How much money must the buyer give the seller to gain the right to a piece of land? The whole price? Most of it? Half of it? The halacha is that a single coin, a pruta, changing hands is sufficient to establish the purchase. If a man buys a skyscraper worth $500 million and hands over a single penny to the seller, then he has gained the rights of possession to it. in Kapitel Kuf Mem Zayin, Psalm 147, Pasuk Vav, we come across the phrase, Lisvunaso Ein Mispar. His understanding, meaning God's understanding, is beyond calculation. This phrase can also be translated as, His wisdom has no number. Although the Creator fashioned millions of stars, giant solar systems, which stretch across huge distances measured in millions of light years, His wisdom has no number. Lisvunaso Ein Mispar. Large numbers are of no significance to Him. In Yadus, the tiny quantity, that mashu, can be immeasurably significant. Even a trace of chametz that falls into a large quantity of food renders the whole mixture prohibited on Pesach. The Torah requires to set aside one, right? Chita achas poteres es hakri. One grain of wheat can take something from being tevel into being chulin. A portion of the crop for the kohanim. Yet the offering of even a single grain is considered sufficient to fulfill one's formal biblical obligation. So that's the idea in Judaism. We don't define things quantitatively. We don't say, well, you know, since this case is significantly worth a lot more, it should precede the other case, which isn't. No, that's not how it works. Lisvunaso ein mispar. And then finally it says in this pasuk, Moshe quotes to the people, Ki hamishpat le'elokim hu. Justice belongs to God. You just told us about setting up a whole judicial infrastructure. You told us about, you know, which judges are, what their requirements are for dine mamonos, for financial law, for a custody battle of children in a divorce, for corporal punishment, for capital punishment, for this legal issue, for that legal issue. But what is said about all of these various batei din, about the whole judicial infrastructure? Ki hamishpat le'elokim hu. Meaning what? The Torah is concerned about possible abuses and human fallibility of judges, just as it concedes the social necessity which requires those judges. But only God can truly be a judge. This explains the complexities which halacha has introduced into the judicial process. Though capital punishment is prescribed in the Torah and its detailed application is codified in halacha, very few actual executions have occurred in Jewish history. As we know, a Sanhedrin, right, that kills once in 70 years was considered chavlanis, a destructive court. That's in Makos, Dav Zayin Amud Aleph. Innumerable legal requirements all but precluded the implementation of the death sentence. The same applies to Malkos, the punishment of lashes. Both represents assault upon one's fellow man, and because of human fallibility, the execution was reduced to the barest minimum. The trepidation which should grip the jurist is described by the Rambam. The Rambam in Hilchos Sanhedrin, Perek Chaf Gimel Halacha Ches. The judge should always imagine that a sword is at his neck and that Gehenim is open below to receive him. An awareness of the dire implications if he fails to judge properly. He must be aware of the person he judges, but also before whom is the Dayan judging? And to whom will the Dayan be accountable if he veers from the truth? We are concerned not only with the possible miscarriage of justice, but with a basic principle that ideally no man should exercise rulership over another. It is with incredible trepidation that the Torah allows malchus, governmental rulership, and courts, dayanim, judges. It's only as a concession to social necessity to prevent anarchy, but it does so within well-defined bounds. Wishing everyone a good Shabbos, a meaningful week, in a time of nechama for Klal Yisrael.